F1, number 31A.
Now, let us just go through the prophets and see how they help us in practice. Hosea says, I will heal thy backsliding. I will love thee freely. We have right away from the beginning a sense that in God's eye there is no evil, and that in God's eye there is no problem, and that in God's eye there is a right idea established and manifested constantly and by grace. I love thee freely. And it is this consciousness really, you know, which we have in ourselves, a consciousness where, from a divine standpoint, we always can say to ourselves, I love thee freely, and I heal thy backsliding. I have an answer to every situation. There is no situation to which God has no answer. So, Hosea really puts us right at the beginning on the throne of grace, and from that throne of grace has that love towards its true nature, towards our true nature, towards the true nature of our patient, towards the true nature of everyone and everything, which says, I love thee freely. There is no antagonism, no strife, no friction, no opposition, and that's the only standpoint from which we can look out and from which to view any patient and any problem. What then is that which calls itself a patient and a problem? That which calls itself a patient calls itself a patient because he feels he has a problem, because somehow he thinks and knows and feels he has a problem. But what Hosea shows us is that he has that only because he has not taken the standpoint of principle. That he doesn't have that because of somebody else, or because of a situation, or because of a wrong education, or because of this condition and that condition. He shows that it is all a state of consciousness, namely a backsliding state from principle. The moment we consider ourselves or somebody else from a backslided standpoint, where we just fall from the throne of grace, where we slip down from the throne of grace, see, then we see a problem, then we feel a problem, but the comfort, Hosea, means that help, that God is help, that comfort, that help that comes right to each one of us says, well, it is, don't blame yourself, don't blame somebody, don't blame a situation. All that is wrong is only that you slipped from your throne of grace. So, what is, right at the beginning, the Savior, the law of Hosea, that says, you know, truly and really, there is nothing ever going on but the law of Hosea, that mind constantly comes to me and to you and to everybody, always as a flood of ideas of mind. That spirit comes to you and to me and to everything always only as a flood of ideas of spirit. And that soul comes to you and to me and to everything always just as one flood of soul. And that principle comes to you and to me just as a flood of ideas of principle, whatever these ideas are. And so life comes to you and to me always as that flood, the ideas of that one life, of that divine life, of that irresistible life. And so truth comes to you and to me constantly as a flood of ideas of truth, and floods the whole universe, the whole consciousness, with all the ideas of manhood, of true manhood. And that love constantly comes to you and to me and to everybody as the ideas of love. And you know what the ideas of love is. And you can become consciously conscious of these ideas. Now this conscious law, you see, of Hosea, as we ponder them, we become conscious now of that standpoint which is divine and which is flooding and flooding and flooding everything, me and you and every situation. And that heals us of that belief that we have fallen away from the standpoint of principle. Because then we consciously train us in the standpoint of principle. Can you see that? Why these laws and the exercise are so necessary? Because if you only say, well, I have a problem because I have fallen away from God, and really I shouldn't fall away from God, and perhaps even say, therefore, I go and give up this standpoint and look out from principle, well, then you only have fixed your standpoint, but you have not yet filled your consciousness with the fullness of that standpoint. And in order to do that, we really need now to develop that standpoint through the seven synonymous terms, so that consciousness is flooded and flooded and filled by that sense, you see, by that sense, so that it becomes more definite, more concrete, more tangible to spiritual sense, that really only good is going on. So perhaps if you want to remember Hosea, you just remember, only good can come to me. God only comes to me and brings to me and to every situation good. Good. That's already quite a different standpoint than to think, oh, here I have a problem, and what can I do about the problem? How could I change it? And so on. You begin to take the right standpoint. Then Hosea ends and says, you see, against this law of Hosea, every other standpoint breaks down. Every other standpoint just breaks down in itself. The just will, there is a way of the Lord, and the just will walk in it, and those that transgress will fall in it. But it's always the same law. So, having seen that, having handled at the first point, at the first prophet, the claim that the patient has ever fallen out of line with God, then we come to Joel. And Joel has to deal with another argument which the patient brings up. The patient says, but you know, through my experience, through my locust, cankerworm, palmer worm, and so on. Through my experience, I have lost a lot. I have lost my health, I have lost my joy, I have lost my life purpose, I have lost my career, I have lost many happy years, and so on. And so, Joel comes and says, well, can we do something about it? And Joel restores all the years that the palmer worm and the canker worm and the locusts have eaten up. Is that possible? Is it possible that all the injustice that has been done to us in past years, that all the years we have spent in a hospital or in bed or in pain can be restored? Is that possible? If that is not possible, we will never really be saved. We never will have inwardly a feeling that we have never lost anything. We'll always stay there where we feel something has been taken away from us. And so it is Joel's great prophecy to show that in spiritual consciousness there has never been anything that has gone lost, that all that we can lose is a false sense of God, the false sense of life, and the false sense of us, and the false sense of the past, and the false sense of this, and the false sense of that. And all that to human sense and material sense has seemed to be a crisis, has seemed to be evil, disharmony, and so on, that has nothing in itself. That it has no reality in itself, that it has no place in itself, no power in itself, no value in itself, nothing. That it is just a misconception of God and man and the universe. See, until we see that that which from the human standpoint, from that standpoint which has fallen away from the throne of grace, and now has declared various happenings and incidents as evil, as unjust, as discordant, as burdensome, and so on, that human reasoning has in itself nothing at all, that it is just puffed up, that it is just the drunkenness of the holy mountain, on the holy mountain. So Joel says, you see, there is a solution for all that, that we will never have to turn back, that we will never have to regret anything in the past. If we begin to see that that army of locusts and cankerworm and palmerworm were God's army, said it is God's army, when we begin to see that only to human sense something seems to have gone lost, that the cankerworm have eaten up all our fields and all our fruits and all our barns and so on, but that the true idea of God was always established, is always, and will always be. And so he shows that we get the compensation of everything in a high measure, in its full measure, a compensation for every evil, the moment we turn away from the human standpoint and begin to take in the divine standpoint, where Joel said, now turn to the Lord. And as they turned to the Lord said, now I will restore you all the years that the cankerworm and the palmerworm have eaten up. And that he will give the spirit of inspiration to everyone. And that we begin to see that in our lives, in our past, there has never anything gone on really, but God, good, working and working, and though it had to use the way of suffering and the way of experience, it was always good that was at work, trying to bring us back to the divine standpoint, and that's good. That behind this experience is the army of God trying to force us, to enforce on us the return to God. And that returning to God and seeing that we have only valued everything from a material standpoint, from a human standpoint, and now we value things from a divine standpoint, that is worth everything that has gone on in the human. That the human has just no value, neither in this bad experience, that the material standpoint just has no value in itself. And the only value which they have are the values which mortal mind, the human mind, attributes to them. But they have nothing in themselves. We make an experience big. We make out of gnats an elephant. Do you have that saying in English also? Ah, you see, we have different renderings in German. But that is so important. You see, Joel is that one which also tells us and says, now look here, why do you always make such a lot out of every little thing? See, there are mentalities which just take every little incident and make it a big problem. Well, who is making it the big problem? Is God making it the big problem? Or is evil making it the big problem? It's just the human mind that does it. And so, there are mentalities which we always will find in the practice where we just feel when we listen and say, well, I wish I had only those problems. You see? But naturally, they feel the same way with us. But it all shows that the problem, that big army, that great nation that comes and tries to invade us in Joel, that is only big as long as we reason and look at it from the human standpoint. The more one is just loving the idea of science and just doesn't make such a big thing out of every word that somebody has said, or about anything that happens in the world, or anything that comes up and just feels, well, all right, yes, but that's not so important. What is important? And just goes right back again to the principle. One just takes the sting out of a problem. And when one has taken the sting out of problem, it doesn't hurt anymore so much, and it becomes smaller and smaller, and it just disappears under the big view one takes. You will also always find in practice also this joyful sense that people, they have a problem, they get out of it, and the next day they have another problem. And they get out of it, and the next day they have another problem. What the cankerworm has eaten and has left, that the palmer worm will eat. And what the palmer worm has left, then the locust comes and eats it up. It's one succession of doing it. And it is, and we will have, every mentality will have these problems if one is not willing to make as quickly nothing out of them. And we can't make nothing out of them if we have not the compensation for it. We can say to somebody, well, don't make such a lot out of it. There are bigger things in the world than that. And so true what we say, but for the patient, it is not a solution until he has a bigger thing. If his mentality is small and little and narrow and limited, he just hasn't a compensation for it. So we see the necessity of having a big subject. I always feel the more one sees science in its bigness and loves it in its bigness, the little problems just don't arise. We just don't have to handle little problems because they just don't arise. They are swallowed up by that bigness which we have in consciousness. And so we are not concerned with all these little things. So Joel comes and says, you see, the solution of all these thousands of areas of problems is that you change standpoint. And the Christ is working that way. The Christ wants us to change standpoint from that small outlook to the big outlook from God's throne. So you will see when you write, if you have a feeling, I have quite a lot of problems, or I have constantly problems, creeping up and creeping up, like these creepy crawling things here, enjoy it. Just once see that if our love and our heart just would be filled with the bigness of science and the beauty of science, the actuality of science, that all these problems just fade out right under your fingers. So the Christ there comes, you see, and Joel shows that law, that the Christ comes to every unillumined consciousness, narrow or little or limited consciousness, and just wakes it up. As mind comes to that little consciousness and says, oh, you are just drunken with all these problems. Yo, ye drunkards, wake up. You are just drunken with all the tiny little things, with all the creepy crawling arguments that go around, and you are just bothered here and there what this person says and that person says and how they look and how they made a remark and so on. Well, we just can't be bothered about that. If we have one mind, we listen to the one mind. So mind comes and says, wake up from that tiny little mind you have. And then he comes and says, you see, and spirit always comes and shows you that these tiny little problems, they can't really rob you of your substance. It looks as if they are going to rob you in everything. But it is only because spirit wants you to see that there is no substance in all those creepy crawling arguments. They eat up everything, but there is no substance in it. We take them so serious. And we take ourselves so serious. And then soul comes and says, all right. And you see, these arguments say, well, we are bigger than God and we just are going and creep into everything. Until through all these life experiences, a return comes. Then the change comes in the middle of the third tone of soul and says, well, all that brings you back home. That all that makes you ready to capitulate before God and return to God. Then, when you say to yourself, now what has really happened? How does God look at it? And then we get the compensation. Then we say, well, after all, if we look at it from God's point of view, then we can only see that something good has happened, that God brought me back to God. And so behind that army of locusts was really God's army, God's power, God's doing, God's government, bringing me back home to principle. Then he shows that principle is constantly interpreting itself as the infinite vision of that principle. And so in life, inspiring us, and each one of us bringing the Spirit of God upon everyone, and then we begin to feel now the air begins to loosen and to loosen. We are in the valley of judgment of Jehoshaphat, where God judges and where the evil is falling back on itself. And we just say, well, what was really in that whole problem? There was no God in that problem, therefore there is no reality in that problem. There is no importance in that problem. There is no eternality in that problem. There is no value in that problem. And we just see that there is nothing in it. And so it decapitates itself. And then the Lord reigns on Zion. And so we feel that in this way we see that if a patient comes and there's a lot of problems and he's flooded with that locusts and so on, we inwardly know that not evil is at work, but that God is at work. That God can use every circumstance to make a victory of it. See, it reminds me of Adam Dickey's book on his memoirs on Mrs. Eddy, where Mrs. Eddy said to him, well, if somebody falls and breaks a leg, get up and thank God that you are a better man. That's joy, you see. That if you fall and break your leg, that's when the canker worm and the palmer worm come and rob us of our substance, of our health, and say, I'm irresistible, I can break you that leg, and it's broken, and you can see it. Then she says, just rise, and know first that you are a better man for it. See, then exactly is that where Joel says, then principle comes and says, I restore you all the days, not only restore, but overcompensate everything what has happened. If we, that's the law of joy which she indicated there, just in one or two sentences, you see, just in an illustration. But behind it is that tone and standpoint of joy which just says, if we fall down and break a leg, then we shouldn't fall into the error of making now an error real and feeling that we have lost something good, that we have made a backsliding, which is real, but just see that everything is at the service and must serve God. Like Mrs. Eddy explains in the chapter on Apocalypse, that verse of the seven vials full of the last plagues, and where the angel says, come and take it, take the plagues, and she just shows that in there is the full compensation of love. That if we can see that the seven vials full of the last plagues are nothing, and that behind it stands an angel, God good, that the army of God is behind the army of the locusts, that then we break right away at that very instant, break that argument of evil which says, you can break away from God, and when you are broken away from God, you got it. You got it. So, can you see the attitude within oneself in face with a situation? That the practitioner has that altitude of consciousness where we don't say, oh, you, now we got it, now something has happened, now we are licked. But just the other way around, where it just says, whatever happens, no matter how it looks to material sense and to the sense testimony, that we are a better man for it. It's an opportunity for victory. And not only an opportunity to restore things, but an opportunity to advance spiritually, to become stronger spiritually, to advance spiritually.